It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 2. We'll probably begin reading once again with the 17th verse of chapter 1. And so open your Bibles to the book of Jonah, and we'll have a great study today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to give us a phone call, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. And so we're going to begin reading now in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. And the waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and the depth closed me round about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. And I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, unto thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading this morning. Father, we just thank and praise you for the opportunity to come and to enjoy this time to look each day and the joy to live each day knowing you as our personal Savior is the greatest. And so, Father, we just ask today that through this study in Jonah, that those that are listening that do not know you as their personal Savior, they're trusting in their works or their religion or something of that sort, and we need to help them to see, and only your Spirit can do that, and by the reading and the feeding of your Word, to let them see their sinful condition, Father, and that they need to be saved and they need to be born again. So please, dear Lord, just open up the heart's door to all that are listening and bring them to salvation. And we ask, Father, that it be ever so clear today. And also, Father, help us to grow in your precious word. And each time that we open your book and study it and enjoy it, it's just a pleasure and it's a joy. So, Father, just guide and lead us today as we enjoy this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this precious study today, and we have the opportunity to go through the verses of this book, and we have something here that we have been talking about now for a few visits. It says, Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And you know, we have looked at the example that we have concerning our Lord Jesus and how that he was in the grave 3 days and three nights. And we have visited about those things. But one thing that we have not really talked about, and that was the Lord Jesus and when he was crucified. Many look to the crucifixion to be on Friday, and I don't understand why that they have come up with those thoughts, because the Word of God in the Scripture is very clear, 3 days and three nights. And Jonah here, and our Lord himself quotes Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly, so will the Son of God, Son of Man, be in the earth, 3 days and three nights. And we need to understand that 3 days and three nights are not the halves and the little bits and all those things that man has established. I think the reason that that has been the deception is because of the Sabbath. And what I hope today to talk about a little bit is that there are many Sabbaths in the Scripture that are not Saturday Sabbaths. They're not the regular Sabbath that you would think of on Saturday. And so as we enjoy this study today, I want you to be able to see and to enjoy. And I'm going to list something here that you may be familiar with and you may not be familiar with it, and that is the feasts that they celebrated as a Jew. Israel was given this direction by the Lord. It wasn't something that they just came up with. It's something that they had found, and was able to just establish themselves as something the Lord had given them. And so we have first the Passover Sabbath, and I'm going to read it in that manner to kind of help you, and this is all in Leviticus 23. I don't know if you've ever studied that. If you've not, why, it's worthy of your study. The Passover or Passover Sabbath on the 14th day of the first month, the Unleavened Bread Sabbath on the very next day, the 15th day of the first month, and the Feast of First Fruits on the 7th day of the month, the Feast of Pentecost 15 days later, the Feast of Trumpets in the 7th month, and the Feast of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, each one of these days were called Sabbaths, and they were for rest. And so as we look at the Scripture, we need to understand that not only was there the opportunity of the Sabbath, the day of rest on Saturday each week, but also there were these special Sabbaths. And so as an example here, the Feast of Trumpets, and I'm reading Leviticus 23:32, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest in the ninth day of the month at even, for even to even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. And see, we find that these things are not on Saturday. And then also here, Leviticus 23:39, the 15th day of the 7th month, and I'm jumping over a few words here just to get it all in, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. So do you see where we're talking about here concerning these Sabbaths, and that it's not necessarily, when it says Sabbath, it's not necessarily on Saturday. And so when we look at this, then we can find that these wonderful days that we talk about and they celebrate, now we don't celebrate them any longer today because of the law has been fulfilled. The Lord Jesus has finished the work upon the cross. Now, I'm going to read from John 19:31, and if you'd like to turn there, that would be just fine. And we have even John 19:14 first. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he, being Pilate, saith unto the Jews, behold your king. And so it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. Now, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus was the preparation of the Passover Sabbath. And so we have in verse 31 of the 19th chapter of John, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day. Understand, that's what they call many of these special Sabbaths, the Sabbaths that they celebrated, besought Pilate that his legs were broken and that they might be he might be taken down or taken down. So as we recognize here this the difference between the two, and please understand it is important that we be not deceived. It was 3 days and three nights that the Lord was in the grave, and so actually, if you look at the truth, we will find that it was Wednesday when the Lord Jesus was crucified and he was placed in the grave, he died at approximately 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon, and he was buried and was put in the grave somewhere right at the edge of sundown the same evening, remained in the tomb then till Wednesday evening, and then rose again and was seen Sunday morning. And understand that the days are a little bit different because it's from sundown to sundown is their day. And so it's a little different than ours. But it's important when we look at 3 days and three nights that that's exactly what we're looking at, 3 days and three nights. We're not looking at this from Friday put in the grave Friday right before sunset and then, you know, being risen from the dead. There's not 3 days and three nights. You see, the devil despises the truth. He does not want to hear the truth. And so look at all the time and so many years and years and years that it has been taught and believed. And you have, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, all those things. And yet Jesus clearly was crucified on Wednesday. And yes, preparation of the Sabbath, and that was a high day, a special Sabbath due to the Passover, due to the unleavened bread celebrations that went on during that same time. And so with that in mind and the joy of looking at the truth, I hope that that helps you to understand. Go back into Leviticus, read those precious times, and then connect them with the crucifixion, because the Lord Jesus is our Passover lamb, and he was crucified during a Passover, just as the lamb that was chosen was brought out of the flock early, was looked to see that it was perfect it could be. And it's just a joy to see how all those things are together. And you can follow through these feasts and find that it is the Pentecost, all these things that they celebrated when Peter proclaimed his great message during Pentecost. They were back into Jerusalem just as they were at the Passover. And so if you haven't studied Leviticus, why, please do, and just enjoy that. But I wanted to take a few minutes here just to kind of close this out with the 3 days and three nights that he was in the belly of the fish, because Jesus himself confirms that. And that's not just partial days. That's 3 days and three nights. Now let's get on to chapter 2, and we've spent some time here at the beginning. We'll move right on. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of his unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. And thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. And then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. And the waters compassed me about, even to my soul, and the depth closed me about round about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Now it is something here to listen as Jonah was fleeing from the Lord, if you'll recall, went down, 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 and then went into the fish and this one that was developed, was created for this purpose, and yet it speaks here that thou hast brought up my life from corruption. And so as we look at the words that Jonah uses as he is swallowed by this big fish, he dies. He goes to the place of Abraham's bosom or paradise. But you see, the Lord isn't finished with him yet. He has something to teach him. And so his experience here is not the experience you think of being in total contentment and joy, because the Lord has got to show Jonah something here. And he is showing him that I'm not finished with you. You need to get back to work. And so as we look at that and we see these things here, why, we follow him down all the way until he makes a statement down here in verse 6, brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. You know, how far down does a person have to get? How far away do we have to get from the Lord before we finally recognize and remember that the Lord is the only way? He's the only way that we can to live and have joy and have peace and have strength is to listen unto the Lord, follow his way, follow his direction. And so Jonah finally got to that place. And my prayer came in unto thee, unto thy holy temple. Now, we find clear up in verse 4, it says, then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards the holy temple. So you see, even though he felt like he had been forsaken almost, and yet he still looked towards the holy temple, because he knew down in his heart Jonah was saved, Jonah was a prophet, Jonah was one that the Lord had used before. And yet this time, for whatever reason, he was tired, or he just desired not to serve the Lord and not to walk with him. And so it just continues here. But we come down, and here's the wonderful verses that brings us back. And when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, unto thine holy temple. And so he recognized that he needed to pray unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him. And so as that takes place, but again, look at the words, the soul fainted within me. He was at the end. And isn't it so sad that that's kind of what we have to do? We have many times we have to just come to the end of our rope, if you want to use that thought. To the end of our rope. We have no other choice. There's no other way to go, nothing to do. And then we remember the Lord, and we turn unto him. And so it seems that Jonah is much like we are. And they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. We need to seek the Lord's will. And the only way that we can enjoy life, the only way we can really live, is to know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior and enjoy and accept and recognize his great mercy that he shows us. Jonah was calling upon the Lord. He was no longer that arrogant individual that was running away from the Lord, thinking he could run away. But please, the mercy, and we need to understand. And look at what he says in verse 9. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed salvation is of the Lord. When do we get to that place where we recognize that the Lord is the only way? It's not through works. It's not through something that we can say. It's not through some church we can join. It's not through a baptism or some act that we can perform. It's not that we can clean our life up and be fine at that time. None of those things work. It's all comes down to the mercy of God and His Son, the Lord Jesus, as Jesus died on the cross to save us. And all we need to do is call upon Him. Now, you're hearing the Word of God, and so you need to listen to that precious Word and respond to it. You need to trust in Jesus today and look to Him as your personal Savior. It's a joy. It's a joy to walk with the Lord Jesus each and every day. And so please that you recognize Jonah was a servant of God, served God many years. And yet, was he tired? Is he old? What's the reason that Jonah decided this time, I'm not going to do it? But you see, it was a lot more difficult to run than it was to do it. But Jonah, I believe, had some things in his mind that weren't of God, but they were of Jonah. Because remember where he was sending Jonah. He was sending Jonah to Nineveh. Nineveh was a Gentile city. Jews and Gentiles, there was a hatred between them. It seemed like that they had gained the thought that everything that we do is that we are so blessed of God because we're a Jew. But the Gentiles, they're cursed of God because they're not. And for God to send him to Nineveh, Jonah just wasn't up for that. And so he decided that the alternative was better, and that's to run. Well, he has found that that didn't work. The Lord got a hold of him. And what a joy it is when the Lord gets a hold of us and we turn about. And so again, we have in verse 9, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Jonah was delivered. And then we find in verse 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching which I bid thee. And this time Jonah arose, as it says the first time, and he went into Nineveh. And so let's kind of back up now and just get a little bit of review of what we have in the second chapter. Because it's so important that we understand, and the reason, again, that I wanted to take a few minutes with the 17th verse of chapter 1 is because so many folks, and a lot of people say, what is it? It doesn't matter whether it's 3 days and 3 nights. It just doesn't. It does. Because, you see, the Word of God is truth. The Word of God is it. We need to listen to it. We need to understand it. We need to stand upon it, not change it. And someone many, many, many years ago decided that because it said Sabbath, that we can trick people and deceive folks. And we can take away from that 3 days and 3 nights that our Lord Jesus was in the grave. And they did that. They turned it from 3 days and 3 nights to a short day and a half. Said, that'll work. All we have to do is just continue. And, you know, they've done the same thing with baptism. We add baptism for salvation. And that's a lie as well. We do not need to be baptized to be saved. You need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know, the church is not a building. It's not an organization. It's not a religion. It is a living organism. It is wonderful because we know Jesus as our personal Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes to live within our hearts. Now, that's what takes place when you trust in Jesus as your Savior. Jonah knew the Lord Jesus as his Savior, even though it's some 800 years, almost 900 years before Jesus would go to the cross. And yet, by faith, they look forward to that cross. What a joy. What a joy it is to look forward and enjoy that precious walk each and every day. You know, from the time that they received their these feasts and things that we've talked about, you know, the time has passed here of some almost 600 years. And so they have, you know, the challenges that the Israelites have had comes because of them forsaking the Lord and not doing what the Lord asks them to do. And everything that he asks us to do is always to our own advantage. It always is to help us, to strengthen us, to build us. And so if you think that you can go your direction and not listen unto the Lord and make your own decisions and not come by faith to Jesus, number one, when you face death, which is certain it'll come, when you face death, you're going to take the last breath here, and you're going to wake up with your soul in the place of torment. And we read there concerning the rich man Lazarus, and he desired two things. Again, would you allow Lazarus to come over, just dip his fingers and touch my tongue, touch my lips? It is so hot. I'm just burning up, and yet never will he burn up. It's just eternal. It is forever. And you go from the place of torment to the lake of fire, which is worse. And then you spend eternity there bodily, because you too will have have a bodily resurrection. That's your choice if you reject the Lord Jesus or if you try to do another way. I just ask that you would come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust in him, because it's a joy during this life. And then it's an eternal joy throughout all eternity. And so please that you would come by faith to Jesus today as you hear the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Respond to the Word of God. And come by faith to Jesus. He's, you know, the Spirit's showing you your wickedness, that you're a sinner and you're lost. And also the wonderful words that he is showing you, the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And so please, that you would just look to him today, trust in him today, and walk through and not have to go through what Jonah went through. Well, Jonah's saved. If you're not saved, you're looking a lot worse than what Jonah's went through. But even Jonah here, as he turned his back on the Lord, he brought him back. And he brought him back through this experience. Doesn't sound like a very good experience, does it? Well, it's not when you run away from the Lord, but it's a wonderful experience when you know the Lord Jesus and walk with him. And so, again, I'm going to read in verse 4, "Yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. I am cast out of thy sight," he says, "but I will look again towards thy holy temple." And then we come to verse 7, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came up unto thee, unto thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." Never forsake your mercy, because the Lord is mercy, and we need to trust in him, believe in him, not go by your own ways. "I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll lift my voice up to you, and I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." I hope that you have come to that conclusion. I hope that the Spirit of God has shown you the way that salvation is of the Lord. You say, "Well, I believe that, but then I also believe we have to be baptized." Then, my dear friend, salvation is not of the Lord. because you've just added works to your what you're doing. Salvation is of the Lord. It's His great mercy that has shown us that. I ask that you trust in Him today, that you walk with Him today, and you serve Him. But please, come by faith first. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?